This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN Plus.
Back and better than ever, back and better than ever. Black and Abdallah. Bop, 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 bop. What's up, fellas?
What's up, guys?
How are we doing?
Hembo. How about this?
Cap, Bubba, Hembo, hashtag crew.
Nuno.
How's it going?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. Yeah. I don't see anything. I don't know
anything. I'll tell you this. I have my soup. I have my salad, but I don't cross-pollinate. I'm not dipping the salad into the soup. I'm not dipping the sandwich into the soup. Nothing gets dipped. I've never dipped anything in my life.
Hembo, no dipping.
Wow. But he becomes self-aware, and he realized what he said, and he was like, and he just giggled a little bit.
He knew it.
Yeah.
It was great.
He's not bad Hughes then.
No.
He takes his tuna sandwich and dips it in the soup every day.
What type of soup?
Not dipping any tuna.
Whatever the soup is at Wrigley, he takes the tuna fish sandwich and dunks it in the soup. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Right into the trough there, huh?
Awful.
Now, is the...
It is Wrigley, so it would be the trough. Yeah.
Is the bread toasted?
No.
Or is it just
why? You got
soggy white bread?
Soggy bread into a soggy soup.
It's usually a multi-grain bread.
Gross.
Heaps of tuna on it, and he dunks it in, then eats the soup with the floating tuna left. It's so disgusting.
I can't do tuna sandwiches. It's gross. I can't do tuna sandwiches.
No, it's just...
Too much mayonnaise.
I do that, but not dunked in the soup.
So he just likes his sandwiches baptized.
He likes them baptized.
What?
Right?
Correct.
Wet.
It's a wet sandwich.
Wet. So when
soggy
you do
bread.
That, when
so
you
the
do
Santo,
that with
the Sosa, and he drops it right in.
Would he do that with his peanut butter with, like, chocolate milk? Would he dunk his peanut butter in the...
Peanut butter and chocolate's good together, so
he
I imagine that would taste...
the same sandwich every day.
Oh.
That's
his fuel.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. That's his fuel.
Yeah, it's like Steve Jobs wearing the black turtleneck every single day. So he doesn't have to make decisions.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking at a higher level than
his uniform.
Than all of us. Right. Right. It's he eats
uniform.
The same thing every day, so then he doesn't have to think about it.
That'll be Danny soon, by the way. In 10 years he will be Richard Lewis.
He will be.
He's already got the hair.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing?
That's great.
Guys, come on.
That's outstanding.
I mean,
he's out Cap, he's about 10 years away from being Richard Lewis.
That's it.
He was wearing black
the
entire time.
You know, I invented from hell. You know that, right? I invented the saying from hell.
How'd you guys play yesterday?
We played golf. We played golf.
We didn't cheat, but yeah, we were.
Oh!
Whoa,
man!
I was listening to Sylvie and Hood yesterday after the round, and I heard there's a big controversy here at the station.
Yeah. Uh-oh. The 17 under?
Yeah, I mean, 17 under?
And when I walked in, they said 17 under, and I was talking to the group with Waddle, and they said they left putts out there, meaning they could have gone even lower.
Oh, come on.
That's what they said. That's what they had a six group of six. So when you have six shots at everything, like that's
six cap.
That's a lot of shots.
That's a lot of shots.
Is that new ink?
Yes.
When'd you get that?
What do we
I
have?
I thought
here?
I saw that on the recap.
The
I thought I saw that on one of the recaps. When'd you
ago.
Get that?
2 weeks.
That looks good for 2 weeks ago. Look at that. Show that on Twitch.
Do a little flex for the Twitch camera.
Yeah,
there
yeah, yeah.
Go.
Show the guns off. Show us the gun show.
That's it. I got a few more. I got. A family tree I'm getting right here.
When are you going to just get full sleeve? Just full sleeve.
I'm not going below the elbow.
Okay. So that's still half sleeve.
You know why?
Short
because
sleeve.
He's a professional.
Right. So he can have the short sleeves on TV?
That's right.
But you also wear a suit on TV. So what does it matter?
But in the summer, I'll do shows like from Guaranteed Rate,
okay.
Wrigley, and I will have a golf shirt on.
All right. When's the neck tattoo coming?
That's never happened.
All right.
Face?
Mindy on the knuckles?
No.
The what?
Not going to happen.
That'd be something. M-I-N-D. Oh, well. You're one knuckle short.
Who was the player? Who was the NBA player that had the lip, his wife's lips tattooed? You know who I'm talking about. I think he played for the Grizzlies for a while. Why can't I think of his name?
Was it
I don't have Twitch in front of me.
Birdman?
So. No, Birdman had a ton of them, but I just remember specifically.
Birdman was a tattoo himself, the whole body.
An NBA player had his wife's lips.
I know
on his neck.
They were red.
Yes.
They were red lips.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't pull it.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But that's what
he played for the Grizzlies?
Wasn't
Mike Miller, was
Chris
it? Or
Anderson?
No, it wasn't Anderson. Let's see. Who was it?
It was Kenyon Martin.
Yes.
Kmart.
Thank you, Cap.
There they are.
Yeah.
Right under the back of the ear.
Yeah. Huge.
Right. You can get those?
Get those. Come on.
No.
Mindy's lips?
I mean, you could do the Tyson. You could get anything on the back of the head. You could get the Tyson. You could do whatever you want to.
No.
Do you remember the stigma against tattoos when you were growing up? Not my era, but yours as baby boomers. I mean, because you were a thug or some kind of, what did they call bad people back then in the 60s and the 70s?
Movers and shakers.
Hoodlums?
Hoodlums.
Yes.
Hoodlums.
Yes. Like, is that what your dad would call them?
They look like hoodlums with the tattoos.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the stigma back then? Like, if you had a tattoo, if you were a tattoo guy, you were a tough guy. You
correct.
Had the back in his day, you had the white shirt and the leather jacket. You know, singing underneath the.
Well, I was going to say the you had the pack of cigarettes rolled up. You know, they used to break
they call
out
them
the
a
pen,
pack of squares,
and they do the pen tattoos with the stick and poke.
Yeah,
that's what they used to do. Dude, right. I hid my tattoos from my dad until I was like 24. Because it's because of being Muslim. You're not, you know, you're not
you
supposed
have?
To. I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
What did he say when he found out?
Well, like, we were going to Egypt, and I was like, we're going to go to the beach. And I was like, so you're going to, as a family? And I was like, you're going to see these, so here you go. He's like, yeah, I kind of figured.
Oh, okay, so he knew.
He's like, I figured you would at some point. Yeah, he gathered. Like, he saw my room and, like, the music I listened to, and then I came back from college, and I was like,
so. The trouble you were in high school.
I mean, listen, I had them in high school. I did a good job. I hid them for 6 years. Like, that took some artistry.
You hid them for 6 years.
Well, I hid them from him for 6 years. My mom knew about him. She didn't care. But my dad didn't know, because, like, and then my sister was like, yeah, me too. Like, oh, no.
Not, wow.
Oh,
oh,
no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
What would your dad think of your tattoos? What would you think he'd say?
I don't think he would care, and I know my mom would not. She would be cool with it.
But your dad, though, a professional man, lawyer, I don't think he'd think there's something wrong there.
He might.
Does Bruce have any?
Yes.
Okay. He'd be okay with your brother.
Correct.
But you, though, what would he say? Would he be concerned, like, you got all those tattoos on?
What do you need to do that to yourself for? That's what he would say.
Yeah.
What's that going to look like? The thing to me was always, what are those going to look like when you're 80? And I was like, I'm going to be 80. I don't care.
Well, you just pull the skin a little.
Yeah,
and you just,
like,
correct.
Look at this
when
one.
It's all
this is a band
there,
called Alkaline Trio. Yeah.
So we're listening.
In a few years, that sun will be setting back there.
Exactly. That's very good.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
I was listening earlier this morning. I think it was like around 7:15, 7:20. Cap, the Chargers can't win the Super Bowl?
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Not at all?
No.
Not a great defensive end combo, Bosa, Mack, and then a great young quarterback.
I don't think
Herbert.
They can. I think they're too banged up.
All right. I mean, I just wanted to make sure that we clarified that. I heard that this morning, and I almost choked on my oatmeal.
I do not believe.
Chargers can't win a Super Bowl?
This year, because of the injuries.
But injuries right now have been bad. But
wouldn't
you
make
your
star left tackle for the season?
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, of course. But teams are going to have injuries, and they have a ton of talent. I mean, they looked bad last week against Jacksonville, no doubt.
Yeah, but I still think it's week three.
It's early.
Well, that's why I had to ask you. That's why I had to bring it up.
It's week. I think
we're in for Greeny today. Greeny usually doesn't ask these questions of what he hears from Cap'n Jay Hood.
That's
weekly. So we had to
give us
to bring
Zach Wilson update.
Yes, I understand.
Well, I mean, team.
Well, look, Chris, he's shooting his shot there.
No,
and we did overreaction NFL too. I have Doug Peterson as the coach of the year.
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's strong. My overreaction.
Mm-hmm. Strong.
And my man here says the Bears would be lucky to win two more games.
Two more?
Oh my god!
Holy bleep!
We're doing this again. We're
Holy
doing this bleep. Again.
So what's going to happen when they beat the Giants on Sunday?
Yeah.
We'll see.
They're better than the Giants.
We'll see.
Every statistical category, they're better than the Giants.
That's not true.
Well, okay, passing. One. They run the ball better. They're better at
Giants
defense.
Giants are 16th in defense. Bears are 20th.
They're
Give
not.
Them the DVOA numbers.
Yeah, I'll throw you out the DVOA numbers.
Out.
Let's
Bust
do this.
Bust them out. Get nerdy.
Let's do
Football
this.
FootballOutsiders.com.
DVOA, the Bears are 11th in defense. The Giants are 28th. On offense, they're 23rd. The Giants are 28th. Overall DVOA.
Just go by the NFL.com rankings. Giants are 16th. Bears are 20th.
NFL.com doesn't like the Bears. We all know that.
There's a bias against the Bears at NFL.com.
I'll tell you guys this. I'll tell you about a little team in 2004 called the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie year. You run the ball to protect your quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger that year had 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Won the Offensive Rookie of the Year, by the way. For 2,600 yards. That team went 15-1. Their wide receivers had 7 touchdowns total. Hines Ward and Antoine Randle-L.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had Jerome Bettis and Deuce Staley combined for 14 touchdowns, 13-1. Okay?
Yeah.
You protect your quarterback with the run. I'm not saying that Fields is going to turn into Ben Roethlisberger, but look at those stats. Roethlisberger didn't do anything that year.
Yeah.
He did not. He had a 66 completion percentage. So I'm saying that there's still time. It's three games. So
absolutely.
Far.
So
three games.
So essentially, Adam, in that team, it was running the football.
Absolutely.
Because he had Bettis in that spot.
Absolutely.
Right?
Great defense,
Ben
too.
Roethlisberger's touchdowns from his rookie year through year 4, 17, 17, 18, and then 32. You can get better. It's week three. They're going to win more than two games left. We think they're only going to win four games? You're sticking to that?
I said they'd be lucky. They're going to go under 6.5. I believe that.
Okay. Still. All right. Still. All right. You know the league is kind of bad, right?
Yeah, so are the Bears.
The league's like, bad.
Wait, well, no, they. I mean, look at. Okay, you think
the
they're.
The Bears are among the three or four worst teams in the NFL.
Oh, I highly disagree.
I mean, they beat the Texans.
In about 20 minutes, see. We're going to have five up, five down. I'll tell you right now, the Bears are not in my five down.
The Commanders are the worst team in the NFL, according to DVOA. They have the 30. They rank 32nd, 32nd offense, 31st defense. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Okay. The Bears are going to win that game. They're better
Just
than the
let
Jets.
Let it play out.
They're better than the Jets. They play the Jets. You can't tell me that they're not better than the Giants, the Jets, and the Commanders. You can't.
So, Cap, in the middle of that schedule, the reason why Chris and Adam kind of are a little bit more optimistic than we are about the Bears is because of those coin flip games. Like, I didn't know Miami's going to be this good.
Yeah. You know,
last time they were 3-0, they finished the season 7-9. I'm not saying that that's this team, but what I'm saying is that they're more optimistic because that middle of the schedule where can they beat Atlanta? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me, Chris, but it, like there's some games there in the middle, like in November, where the Bears could win, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the Giants game this weekend, but you're talking about Atlanta, New York, the Jets. That's November 20th and the 27th. Those are two tough games. I mean, Detroit has looked very good.
Yeah.
Although they're only 1-2. But they look very good on offense. So
Washington, I didn't know they were going to be this bad.
At New England.
Sure. Now it looks like a winnable game.
New England's a winnable game.
Yeah, if Mac Jones is out, I mean, that's certainly.
Jones is in.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
They're not a good football team.
Yeah. So there's where you look at the schedule, Cap. And again, coming into the season, I said 7-10. But, I mean, a bounce goes your way. You win by three like you did last week. There's a couple of games, I think, on the schedule like that where they can win by a field goal.
Or lose by a field goal.
I don't think any of us thought they'd be 2-1 right now. Maybe Yurko did because he said that they would beat the 49ers. But I had them at 1-2 right now and then winning the Giants game at 2-2 after the first four games. So if they end up 3-1, that's perfect. That's great. That's setting you up for success. They're not going to. I agree with you on this. You said earlier when I was listening that they're not going to go in and say, hey, we need to throw the ball 40 times to see what we have in Justin Fields.
No, they're going to try and win football games.
And if the recipe is run the ball 40 times, that's what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball 40 times.
Correct.
And that's going to be the recipe in the next like three or four games because all these teams, the Giants, the Vikings, the Commanders, they're not good at defending the run. So that's going to be the game plan.
You know, on Monday night we discussed this. Matt Nagy, his offense, his coaching, it was terrible. His offense looked better than what we've seen to this point from Luke Getsy.
No question about it.
And like,
Mitch has played better, and he wasn't good. Mitch was better than Justin's been.
Yeah.
To this point, yeah, sure. But like when you look at the way the offense is called and ran and what's taking place, Nagy's offense last year was better. They're running more plays. They're doing all. Like the Bears are last in plays ran in the league at 53. That's terrible. You're not even giving yourself a chance.
It but tells clearly, you what they think of their team.
Well, right. And the philosophy is run the football, eat clock, have a stable defense, and hope you can kind of figure something out in the fourth quarter.
Agreed.
That's the kind of
like the
kind of idea they're using here.
Kind of like the 2004 Steelers that went 15-1.
Pretty good.
All right. Cap's got a workout mitzvah.
Oh, you got a workout today.
You got a workout.
What are you doing?
Mitzvah? What are you
Biceps?
Working out? Buys and
Delts.
Tries.
What are
today
you doing?
Is
glutes?
Back. No, today's total body.
Glutes every day?
Total body. What goes into the total
upper
body?
And Friday will be lower.
Getting the cowbell out?
Will you?
Kettlebell?
Kettlebell.
Kettlebell.
Whatever it is.
Swing a cowbell.
Yeah, he might.
That's it.
Give us a full workout.
Do steps? What do you do? Lunges?
I don't know.
Box? You can
whatever
jump up on
Mike,
a box?
Mike McClain has planned, that's what we'll do.
Whatever Sprints? Mike Thomas has planned.
Do you do that thing where you put the weird like leather helmet on and like do the neck workout?
Oh, yeah.
Like
no. Like, I do not do the neck workout.
Get the neck right.
I do that.
Neck right.
I do that workout.
Well,
I did. Last night.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, have a great show.
All right, Black and Bell, we're in for Greeny for the
How
next
that,
2 hours.
Like that.
You like that?
I like that.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black Shaquem Abdallah in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking football with you and the Chicago Bears. And if you want to join the conversation, we'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Every day on Greeny, he starts it off with one place to start.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
And Abdallah, we start today with the Chicago Bears, week four in the NFL. Today, Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields will talk to the media at around 12:15 today at Halas Hall. And the big question as the Bears face off against the Giants this week, what do we need to see from Justin Fields going forward for the Chicago Bears? That's the big question this week after seeing three games this year from Justin Fields where he has looked lackluster, if not terrible as a quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What do we need to see from Fields going forward and especially against the Giants on Sunday?
Well, I'll say the same thing I said against the Texans. This team is not good against the pass. Their defense is 25th against the pass. So I would like to see the game plan going in to air it out a little bit more, get Darnell Mooney involved a little bit more, get Cole Kmet more involved, get any wide receiver more involved, get everyone more involved. But they're also 28th against the rush. So what I want to see is a game plan to support Fields with the run. And if you're having success running the ball, and if Montgomery, will find out more about him today when Matt Eberflus speaks, probably not. He'll say he's day-to-day, and we'll get an injury update when the injury report comes out. But I want to see a game plan that helps him. I want to see more pass protection from the offensive line. But again, as Matt Eberflus said on Monday and on Sunday, they're paid to win football games, and their goal is to win each and every football game. So if the game plan going in is, all right, we're going to have an even balanced attack because the Giants defense is not good. But we both watched the game on Monday night against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They ran all over the Giants.
Yeah.
And you can do that. Same with the Giants ran all over the Cowboys. So if that's working like it did against the Texans, I don't see them abandoning the game plan. So I would like to see, like I said, against the Texans, they're bad on against the pass. I would like to see Justin Fields air it out more, but I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of see the same results that we did against the Texans. Close game, you're running the ball, you're controlling the clock, and then in the end, this is kind of like a field goal touchdown game where you end up winning.
The game plan is there, right? You run the football, you try and limit mistakes, you eat the clock. And what we saw from the Cowboys against the Giants on Monday night, yeah, you're right. You can run the football on New York. And then also consider this, the Cowboys had a backup quarterback. Now, he's an accomplished backup quarterback who has played some pretty good football for Dallas, Cooper Rush. He went 21 for 31. He threw one touchdown, quarterback rating of 98.2. But Abdallah, when you really look at this situation, theoretically, Justin Fields should have opportunities when the Bears face off against the Giants. And also, theoretically, the Bears' offense should be able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football on Sunday against a Giants defense that a lot of the statistics are showing is not very good. So this is, once again, a tough matchup for the Bears to go on the road against the Giants, but also a winnable football game. And the whole point to all of this is this team is trying to win football games. I get it that development is more important, and development of the quarterback is what people want to see. But this team, this is exactly what we talked about in the summer on the Bear Down podcast on the ESPN Chicago app, that this team is going to try and win football games. It's going to look ugly, but they will win some games this season and tiptoe around 500 for the majority of the season before we get to December when it really starts to get tough. And this is going to be another opportunity to kind of showcase that this Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the other side of the ball too, the Giants right now are 11th in rushing DVOA on offense. And if you think what we saw the last 2 weeks, you know, missed tackles from the Bears defense, it was really bad against the Packers. It was a little better against the Texans, but it has to be even better against Saquon Barkley, because if you think you're going to take down Saquon Barkley with an ankle tackle, you are sorely mistaken. Like, you're going to need 2-3 dudes on top of that guy to try to get him to the ground. So I hope that the tackling is better, because this is also a team that has a lot of success running the football, controlling the clock, and trying to win a game at the end there with a field goal or something like that.
Hey, it's Black and Abdallah. We're in for Greeny today. That's right. We're in Chicago talking to you here on ESPN 1000. So you can give us a call, 312-332-3776. We'll talk Bears football with you. Rod in Lockport, you're up first. What's up, Rod?
What's up, Rod?
Hey, guys. How are you, man?
We're good. What do you think?
Hey, I was wondering, when are the defenses going to load the box and make Fields beat him with the pass? Because that's the only way you can do this.
Well, I think what we've seen to a certain extent, I mean, in the second half against the Texans had the box stacked, and they were jumping everything. And so Fields is going to have to stand tall and make throws down the field, and they're going to have to work in some slant routes, some quick hitters, and get the linebackers and the defensive backs to get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, the problem is, yeah, Rod, we agree with you. I think that the problem is when you see the some of the plays from the Texans game, his first read was coming across the middle in that route, and he just wasn't comfortable getting the ball out fast enough to try to throw it to him. And that's where you need, like, that's where, you know, Daniel Jones has succeeded. That's where Cooper Rush was succeeding on Monday night, is they were getting quick throws, 5 yards, 6 yards, 3 yards. They were getting those quick plays out there, and they were extending drives that way. And you build those up, and eventually you can take a shot, you know, 11, 12 yards. I'm fine if they want to dink and dunk down the field. Like, that's fine. But I don't know if Justin Fields is capable of getting the ball out fast enough for a quick slant route where you're going to pick up 5 quick yards on first down or 5 quick yards on second down.
It's certainly something we haven't seen yet. And that's the troubling aspect to this development process for Justin Fields. It seemed as if last season there were moments where we saw bright spots. There were nice throws down the field. There were sideline passes that were threaded in there. There were great opportunities for Fields to kind of get us excited. Mm-hmm. We have seen none of that to this point this season. We haven't seen none of that.
No.
I mean, the second half against the Texans, he had two nice throws, but those were pedestrian.
The broken plays against the 49ers weren't great. Like, I mean, they're broken plays. That's what you expect. You're like, okay, he ran around, he created a play with Pettis, and like, cool, awesome, but that's not sustainable.
Yeah, and then we get to Monday, Tuesday, and every blogger or Twitter person out there is sending out screen grabs of open wide receivers down the field. And so the tape doesn't lie, and the quarterback has to be better, and there's a lot that needs to be worked on here. Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. I wanted to ask you guys, I heard, you know, like Cap and you guys saying that, you know, that Eberflus has a commitment to the team, to the other 52 guys besides Justin Fields for the development. But it's not really fair that, like, Gordon and Brisker, they're new, and their development seems to me like they're far better to Eberflus and Ryan Poles than Justin Fields, because they're allowed to make mistakes. And I understand you said, you know, the game plan is to run the ball and not make mistakes, but that mistakes only go applies to Justin Fields. Gordon and Brisker and Kendall Vildor have made mistakes far out, you know, many times, and they have not really, you know, shown improvement, but they're still out there. And Eberflus and Getsy did not take the ball out of their hands. You know, I know they play defense, but the ball is not in their hands. They're still out there. They're learning. When they make mistakes, they learn. Next game, I'll do better. You know, I know what this is. But for Justin Fields, as soon as he makes a, you know, like an interception, the ball's out. Like, that's it. You know, like, we're going to run the ball, and that's all we're going to do. And it just seems like Justin Fields has a short leash that once that first interception happens or is not coming, that's it. Then there's no more development for Justin Fields this game, and we'll try next game. And it's just like 15 passes a game is just not fair to Justin Fields to know what we have.
Yeah,
if
that's
he gets
a fair point, Matt.
Or something this year, then this is not fair to him that, you know, he owes that little mini. Because in the game, like in the Houston Texan game, Lovie Smith allowed Davis Mills to win the game. He put the ball in his hand and let him throw it. I know they were deep in the 13-yard line, but he still threw it. It got tipped, and then, you know, Roquan intercepted it. But he still put the ball in his quarterback's hand because he wants to know.
Yeah.
Do I have a quarterback, and can he win the game? It does us no good if, you know, Roquan Smith wins the game, or, you know, whatever, whoever else wins the game. Justin Fields, we need to know what we have in this quarterback, if he is the answer or not.
Yeah, and we get that. And I think also that the weirdest part of this season to this point to me is not the way the Bears handled the 49ers game. It's not even the way that the Texans game was played out. That was a football game that it was back and forth between two teams that are subpar, but like the Bears were in it the entire time. I don't think the decision making on pass plays or allowing Fields to go stretch the field and to try and make plays on like that was a problem. What to me I find is the most bizarre part of this season is that you give up 21 points in the second quarter against the Green Bay Packers. You enter the second half trailing big time. Right, by more than two scores, and you only run the football. Like, I get it was working,
yeah,
but like, you're never going to come back and win football games by only running the football.
No,
I get it. The Packers were teeing off, they're coming after them, but it that's weird that you get to the second half of that game, even though we're 2 weeks out now, looking back on it, the fact that you were down by so much against the Packers and you didn't even attempt to come back by throwing the football, you only ran the ball, that to me is the strangest part to this season to this point.
Yeah, but to me also, to answer Matt's question about the defense, is because you've been so cash-strapped and because you didn't have a lot of draft picks, there's no depth on this team. And so you have to find out what Kyler Gordon is. You have to find out. Jaquan Brisker has been a great player. Jalen Johnson obviously hurt. But, like, I think Kendall Vildor had a decent game. We always point out the few plays that they miss. And they're not going to, you know, they're young. You know, Kyler Gordon's a rookie. And good quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers are going to pick on him. But I thought he had a decent game against the Texans. But there's no one behind him. Like, you have to take these guys and see what you have, because you haven't been able to add a lot of quality depth because you didn't have any money, because Ryan Pace left you with nothing and you had to clear everything off the books for next year.
We'll continue taking your calls on the Bears at 312-332-3776. What do you need to see from Justin Fields this weekend against the Giants? Your call is next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. We're in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Andrew in Bensonville talking Bears. What do you think, Andrew?
Yo, how we doing?
What's good, up, man? What's up,
Chicago?
What's up, Chicago?
What's up? Andrew's doing his own DJ. What's up, Chicago?
Yeah, I just want to say Justin Fields is being very underrated. I'm sick of all the critics. It's disgusting. This guy's the next Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Speaking of another Jackson, we got Eddie Jackson on defense, baby. That's the man right there. Defense don't fold any time of the day. It's morning, night. Oh, Bears won't fold. Roquan had me jumping out of my seat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love it, Andrew.
Out of the seat.
Bringing the heat.
Yeah, but I think they're going to smoke the Giants. Daniel Jones... I mean, disgusting.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Hey, shout out and buy those things, pest management. Let us know what Chicago needs.
Yeah, if you got roaches.
You got,
call Andrew.
Pests.
Have a good one, guys.
See you.
Bye, Andrew.
Right. Run through a wall right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's... Lamar Jackson in his second year in 2019 had 36 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
Well, we made it 38 minutes here on Greeny.
Well, I mean, look.
It's pretty good.
It's, you know.
Early?
Well, I mean, listen, people can call now. What time to do?
Rob in Villa Park talking Bears. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, I want to make a comment. I feel like the Bears are doing the same thing with Justin as they did with Mitch. I see both of them guys kind of have the same skill set. But they never ran plays for Mitch's abilities, and they're not doing the same with Justin either. You know, they should be running some screens, some short routes, roll them out, switch the pocket, do some bootlegs, use Justin's athleticism to make plays, and he's not going to be a pocket passer, and I just don't see them doing that.
Well, I mean, he was a pocket passer in college. So he can't?
Yeah, he was. I mean,
and I also disagree. I think the Bears ran offensive plays for Trubisky. Yeah. They rolled him out a lot so they could cut the field.
They cut it in half a lot by rolling him out to his right, to his left, whatever it was. They rolled him out a lot. And I think that you're going to see, Rob, that they tried to do those short passes and those slants, but he's just not seeing the field. He needs to be better at seeing the field. He needs to be better at going to that first open read, whether it's in traffic or not, and throwing guys open. He's not very good right now at throwing guys open. So he needs to be better at a lot of things. I'm not ready to say that he's trash just yet. There's still 14 games of the season left for us to determine whether or not he's trash.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. We go to Bo on the south side. Bo, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you want to see from Fields this weekend?
Man, I want to see Fields just manage the game and not turn the ball over, man. I just wanted to say I think the Bears are going to make the playoffs. This schedule does not look threatening at all. I don't see a threatening schedule.
Yeah.
O-line is dominating. They are dominating at the point of attack in the run game. That fullback, number 35, needs to get some credit.
Love the fullback.
You do.
35, whatever his name is. I don't know his name, but I watched the film. That guy's out there just being a bulldozer along with Braxton Jones, man. If you go back and watch that tape on Braxton Jones on the Khalil Herbert first touchdown, he moved a Thomas Booker 300-pounder about 15 yards in the end zone and then speared him right at the end to get Khalil Herbert in there. So I see a weak schedule, and I see a running game that's dominating and the defense that's creating turnovers. We've seen this formula work before. They can make the playoffs. That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, Bo. Appreciate it. We go to Commercial Tire J. Ooh. Commercial Tire J, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? Happy Thursday Eve.
Yeah, happy Thursday
happy
Eve.
Thursday Wednesday. Eve. Happy post-Tuesday.
Hump day, as some call it.
There you go. So this isn't really a Justin Fields thing. It's actually, people think I'm crazy on this, but correct me if I'm wrong, Arch Manning will be available in the draft
all
in
right.
2025.
All right. I don't – okay. Arch Manning is great. Like, let's see how Arch Manning does in college.
Is he going to decommit from 7-win Sark? Or,
I don't
or what,
know.
What's the situation there?
I don't know. But look, he's throwing up numbers in high school. Let's see what he looks like in college. Let's see what he looks like in college before we anoint him the next great quarterback.
No, he's going to be the next great Bears quarterback.
Okay. Sure.
And Commercial Tire J just said it.
And Peyton's going to come here and run the franchise, right?
Absolutely. And then we're going to have you know, Manning posters everywhere in Chicago. That's what we need.
Yes. Can't wait for that.
Thanks, boys.
Good call, Commercial Tire J. We appreciate
it. He'll just put his head under the bean, and the bean will just be his forehead.
The under the what?
The bean.
Oh,
under the bean.
Cloudgate?
Yeah, the bean. Who calls it Cloudgate?
Junior.
Cloudgate sounds like a scandal.
Junior, he's at Wazoo.
The Palouse. I told you it was a tight Palouse.
I know.
I told you it was going to be a tight Palouse.
Last weekend. Oregon pulled it out, though. Junior, listening on the ESPN Chicago app.
What was it, like 29 points in the last 2 minutes? Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Junior?
Nothing much, man. I was excited for college football up until 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. Anyways.
Hey, before your Bears thought, was the Palouse going to go nuts if they took down Oregon on Saturday? Were you ready to party?
Yeah, and I mean, we did anyways.
of course.
It's a way to do it.
The problem was that beating Oregon over the last 10 years isn't really that big a thing for us because we do it all the time.
Damn.
But this weekend, they were trying to do the whole let's wear the gray uniforms that we wore that magical night in 18 with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Man, that was a great night, too.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Did I see something online that they're going to get out the 97 Rose Bowl helmets for a game coming up soon?
So Coach Dickert actually tweeted that out, and we were wondering the same thing because he said he couldn't wait to honor the 97 team, but they didn't say whether they're going to wear them or not. I hope they do. I love those helmets.
Yeah, I hope they wear them for the SC game and then they lose.
Okay.
Junior, all go ahead with your Bears thoughts.
Right. So I'm doing my best because I've always been honest with you boys.
Yeah.
I am a recovering Trubisky truther.
It's okay.
We appreciate you coming. Yeah, well, we appreciate you coming to the table. And
thanks, Junior.
Thank you for being here,
Junior.
Step
one is admitting you have a problem.
We're here for you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And I'm doing my absolute best to not do the same, fall under the same trap with Justin. So, but I'm with one of your callers earlier was complaining about Brisker and Tyler Gordon and these young guys on defense. I don't necessarily agree with all of what he said, but Kyler Gordon, putting my bias aside from the fact that, you know, he's a Husky, he's been garbage since college. I watched the great Anthony Gordon light him up. Jaden Delora lit his ass up last year. And a lot of the same's happening this year. He got lucky that he redshirted in 18, or imagine what the great Gardner Minshew would have done to him. I'm worried about that kid. I'm worried about that side. And, I mean, I understand part of it's him being a rookie. They're going to come at him. But
yeah.
I really do think Jalen Johnson is that guy, and that's part of why they're not throwing that way also. So just wanted to get your guys' take on that. I get we're 3 games in, and I get I'm just a bitter Kook fan that's probably not the most biased party. But Kyler Gordon,
We'll talk junior this weekend. California, Washington State gets the win. Two 3-1 teams.
Oh, 100%.
California's been frisky.
Yeah, there's no one more frisky than the Cougs. Coach Dickert's got these boys playing right.
Love it.
Cal, SC, we want them all.
All right. Thanks for the call,
Thanks, Junior.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Go Cougs.
Before Kyler Gordon, that's my favorite coach cliche in college. He's got these boys playing right.
Yeah.
Hands down, one of my favorite college cliches. But listen, I like Kyler Gordon. I think he's learning on the job. He's a rookie. You're going to see good quarterbacks pick on him. I think he only had like one or two bad plays on Sunday. But you're going to see Aaron Rodgers pick on him. You're going to see Josh Allen pick on him when they play the Bills. And then probably, you know, Aaron Rodgers pick on him again when they face the Packers again. But guys like Daniel Jones and things like that, I don't think they're going to pick on him the way that they do.
That's the key, right? Yeah. Like if Daniel Jones is just picking him apart, then that's going to be a problem.
Yes.
But I also think for the Bears defense, their front four, and especially the ends, we need to see Quinn get to the quarterback, needs to get to Daniel Jones, and Jones can run. Like, you know, we talk about all the problems with Justin Fields. One of the positives when you look at Daniel Jones is he can run the football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He can get out of the pocket. He's just not good going down the field. I think Kyler Gordon, give him some time.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him yet. And we were just talking with Junior about some college football. We host the college football show here on ESPN 1000. Saturdays in the fall at 9 a.m. Bluck and Abdallah, we talk college football with you. So join us this Saturday as we preview week 5 in college football. Already,
we're already at week five in college football.
Some big matchups this Saturday, too. So we'll talk about that on Saturday. It's Bluck and Abdallah. We're in for Greeny. We're taking your Bears calls at 312-332-3776. What do we need to see from Justin Fields on Sunday? We'll talk to you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. We're in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Carmen and Yurko coming up at noon right here on ESPN 1000. We're talking Bears football with you at 312-332-3776. Bear Giants week 4 in the NFL this Sunday. What do you want to see from Justin Fields this weekend? I want to see him take advantage of some of the open wide receivers that we've seen on all the different clips that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the Bears move the football at a clip where they are out there getting first downs, eating up yardage, and putting points on the board. It doesn't have to be perfect. I don't mind if there's an interception here, a fumble there, a false start. Gain some yardage through the air, score some points, and make everyone feel a little bit better about the development of this quarterback.
Attempt to make the throws, right? Attempt to make them. When you see a guy cutting across the middle, try to throw him open. If it doesn't get there, all right. But again, if they end up just running the ball a ton, I won't be surprised either because they're trying to win football games.
Jason's in the Twitch chat. He says he wants to see Fields just be like Orton at this point. Remember early Orton days with that great Bears defense?
Yeah.
You can watch us on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago, and our Twitch is brought to you by DraftKings this week. Use the promo code WMVP.
Well, look, I gave the stats when we were cross-talking with Cap and Jay Hood that... And I'm not trying to say that this team is going to go 15-1. I'm not trying to say that Justin Fields is going to be Ben Roethlisberger. What I am saying is that the 2004 Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger as a rookie protected him. He had a 66% completion percentage. He had 17 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, 2,600 yards. And they ran it 618 times during that season. He only passed it 394 times. And I know that, right now in week 3, Fields is on pace to throw less than that. But at the same time, you had two great running backs. You had a good offensive line against the run, or for the run, which is what the Bears have right now. Protect your quarterback. He can turn into something. Ben Roethlisberger, his first 4 years, 17 touchdowns, 17 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns, and then 32 touchdowns. It took time. This is Justin Fields' first 3 games in this new offense. Okay, preseason, whatever. First 3 games in this new offense. If you agree that Nagy was bad, and yes, the offense looked better under Nagy, but we can all agree as a Chicago society fandom of the Bears that Matt Nagy was a bad coach, then this is Justin Fields' first 3 games in a new system. Should he be seeing the speed of the game slow down? Yes. Should he be seeing wide receivers better? Yes, because he did play 12 games last season. But at the same time, you have to give the kid time. And you have to give him more than three games and try. They're not going to Trevor Siemian. They're not going to just sit there and say, okay, well, we're going to hand the ball up. They're going to try to throw the ball down the field. But if it's not working, they're going to win games and they're going to protect their quarterback and see what they have, because you don't have to pay him for another 2 years, another 3 years. You don't need to pick up that fifth-year option for three more years.
Bud, in Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you think?
I think, because I'm a professional head coach. Good morning, by the way.
Hello, Bud. What's going on?
I think because I'm a professional head coach, because I'm really awesome at John Madden football, that at least once a game, just chuck the ball down the field to take the top off the defense.
Mm-hmm. They did it once in the Packers game to Mooney, Bud, and it didn't really work.
Well, you know, you got to try it at least once every other game.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I wish they would, too. You know, you've got Darnell Mooney, who's supposed to be super fast, but they're speedster. No. And their speedster, Velus Jones, hasn't seen the field yet. So I don't know what they're going to do when it comes to that.
But when
exactly.
you're playing,
use the speedster.
When you're playing Madden, you're in the red zone. What's your go-to play?
My go-to play in the red zone?
Yeah.
Be a quick out route from a slot receiver.
Oh, okay. So matchup on linebacker, you get the out route, you dump it off quickly, and boom, touchdown?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Good call, Bud. We appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night.
When's the last time you heard it referred to
Charlie Bevins
as John Madden football?
Hello, Charlie.
Oh, as John Madden football?
It is John Madden.
It is John Madden football 2022.
We know you're one of the younger gentlemen here at the station. John Madden was a football coach.
No, I know, but like, Hall of Famer. I can't. It's always been just Madden. Never heard it called John Madden
football.
Well, it was
football. John Madden's football.
Mm-hmm.
Madden football.
John Madden's football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Elmhurst, we'll be in Elmhurst this Sunday.
We will be in Elmhurst this Sunday.
From noon to 2, a Windy City bar crawl with White Claw this Sunday.
Yeah, Carmen and Yurko are going to Dallas to see the Monsters of the Midway take on the Boys of Dallas in Dallas on October 30th, and you can go with them. We did this last week in Wrigleyville. We're doing it again this week on Sunday from noon to 2 during the Monsters game. They'll be playing football, and we'll be there watching it with another bar crawl in Elmhurst. We're going to start at Pints. We're going to go to the Club Shot and Beer, and then we're going to go to Fitz's Pub, and that's all in Elmhurst, and it's all thanks to White Claw.
It's going to be your last chance to qualify.
Yes.
Carmen and Yurko are qualifying people each day this week, and Sunday, the three bars that we go to on Sunday with Black and Abdallah, with White Claw, those are going to be your last three opportunities to qualify to this awesome, awesome trip in Dallas to see a football team face off against another professional football team in Dallas. One from Chicago, one from Dallas.
Yeah, and last Sunday, it was a time. It was a great time. It was a time.
I was drinking the Black Cherry White Claws.
Yeah.
It was great.
I had some mango ones. It was great. We saw some Italian fellows that had never had a... never had a White Claw before.
It's true.
And they loved it.
I just got back from Europe, and Abdallah goes, "Hey, Black, go talk to those guys.
Go talk to those guys."
And
they're Italian.
I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" They're like, "Oh, we're from Italy."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, all right."
He was there.
He's like, "So do you work here?" I was like, "Here at the bar?" Like, "No, we do a stupid radio show."
Yeah, you know. We do Zoo News.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Now go.